Radhakunda.
Ashtau. Eight. Prakritayaha. Material energies. Proktaha. It is said. Trayaha. Three. Eva. Certainly. He. Indeed. Tatgunaha. The modes of material energy. Vikaraha. Transformations. Shodasha. 16. Acharyahai. By the authorities. Puman. The living entity. Ekaha. One. Samanvayat. From conjunction. Translation. The Lord's eight separated material energies, the three modes of material nature, and the 16 transformations, that is the 11 senses, and the five gross material elements like earth and water, within all these, the one spiritual soul exists as the observer. Therefore, all the great acharyas have concluded that the individual soul is conditioned by these material elements. So you can repeat. The Lord's eight separated material energies, the three modes of material nature, and the 16 transformations, the 11 senses and the five gross material elements, like earth and water. Within all these, the one spiritual soul exists as the observer. Therefore, all the great acharyas have concluded that the individual soul is conditioned by these material elements. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. As explained in the previous verse, Shetreshu deheshu tatatma yogair adhyatma vidbrahma gatim labheta. A spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body, and thus by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. The intelligent person who is expert in finding the self within the body must understand the eight external energies which are listed in Bhagavad Gita. I'm just going to read that sentence again, because it's important. The intelligent person who is expert in finding the self within the body, and I'm emphasizing, must understand the eight external energies which are listed in Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, text 4. Bhumir po nalo vayu kamano buddhareva cha ahankara iti yame Vina Prakritir Ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energies. Bhumi, earth, includes all the objects of sense perception. Rupa, form, rasa, taste, gandha, smell, shodha, sound, and sparsha, touch. Within the earth are the fragrance of roses, the taste of sweet fruit, and whatever else we want. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto, 10th chapter, text 4, Sarva Kama Duga Mahi. The earth, Mahi, contains all of our requirements. Thus, the objects of sense perception are all present in Bhumi or the earth. The gross material elements and the subtle material elements, mind, intelligence, and ahankara, false ego, constitute the total material energy. Within the total material energy are the three material modes or qualities. These qualities, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamogun, belong not to the soul but to the material energy. It is because of the interaction of these three material modes of nature that the five knowledge gathering senses, the five working senses, and their controller, the mind, are manifested. Then, according to these modes, the living entity gets the opportunity to perform different types of karma with different types of knowledge, thinking, feeling, and willing. Thus, the bodily machine begins to work. This has all been properly analyzed in Sankhya Yoga by the great Acharyas, especially by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in his incarnation as Devahuti Putra Kapila. This is indicated here by the word Acharyahi. We need not follow anyone who is not an authorized Acharya, Acharyavan Purusho Veda. One can understand the truth fully when he has taken shelter of an expert Acharya. The living entity is individual, but the body is a combination of many material elements. This is proved by the fact that as soon as the living entity quits this combination of material elements, it becomes a mere conglomeration of matter. The matter is qualitatively one, and the spiritual soul is qualitatively one with the Supreme. The Supreme is one, and the individual soul is one. But the individual soul is understood to be the master of the individual combination of material energy, whereas the Supreme Lord is the controller of the total material energy. The living entity is the master of its particular body, and according to his activities, he is subjected to different types of pains and pleasures. However, although the Supreme Person, the Paramatma, is also one, he is present as an individual in all the different bodies. The material energy is in fact divided into 24 elements. The individual soul, the owner of the individual body, is a 25th subject. And above everything is Lord Vishnu as Paramatma, the Supreme Controller, who is the 26th subject. When one understands all of these 26 subjects, he becomes Adhyatma Vit, an expert in understanding the distinction between matter and spirit. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, text 3, Kshetra, Kshetra Gyorgyanam. Understanding of the Kshetra, the constitution of the body, and of the individual soul and the supersoul constitutes real jnana, or knowledge. Unless one ultimately understands that the Supreme Lord is eternally related with the individual soul, one's knowledge is imperfect. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, text 19. Bahunam janmanam ante yanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Everything material and spiritual consists of various energies of Vasudeva, to whom the individual soul, the spiritual part of the Supreme Lord, is subordinate. Upon understanding this perfect knowledge, one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti Sa Mahatma Sudur Labaha. Interesting purport. Asto prakriteha proktas trayeva hitad gunaha vikara shodasa charyai pumaneka suman voyat. So, Umaganat, Miranda Shah, Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur, Miditam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurvena Mahap. So upon reading this particular portion of the Bhagavatam, we might have the immediate response that, you know, let's get on to something more nectarian, like the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, I mean, I think that's a natural response. But Prabhupada here in the purport says one must understand the external energies. So we're going to discuss what does it mean to understand the external energies and why one must understand the external energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, actually, Krishna explains in the Gita, first of all, nahi kaschit shananampi jatatishtati akarma krit karyate yavasa karma sarva prakriti jari gunar. In this material world, everyone is forced to act helplessly, Bhagavad Gita says, according to the modes of material nature. No one can refrain from action even for a moment. And of course, there's that typical picture that was painted, at least for the original Bhagavad Gita, of the three modes of material nature being like the puppeteers or marionetteers controlling the puppet or the marionette. And that's basically us. So one may say, well, I just have to understand Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world, and then automatically these ropes are broken. I mean, that's an interesting proposal. However, let me give in a metaphor that I just came up with. Let's say someone is in prison. Okay. Everybody knows what prison or jail is, or we call it la cárcel, for those who speak Spanish. So you're in prison in this cell. So you want to get out. Obviously, you want to get out. Let's say you don't want to get out the honest way. You know, because if you got out the honest way, you'd probably be there for your whole life and then be next life getting out. So it's the same thing as us in the material world, that we have all this bad karma and, you know, you can't escape from the bad karma. So we want a quick and easy way out of prison. Because otherwise, you know, we'd be suffering our whole lives from the karma. So Krishna consciousness is actually the escape route. Just like in Mexico, they had this Guzman. You remember him? He was a narco traficante, as they say in Spanish. And nobody can keep, he's like a hero in Mexico because nobody can keep him in prison. They put him in prison and then his cohorts, they're able to dig a tunnel. I mean, a tunnel. How long was the tunnel? I think it was like almost like 500 meters long or something like that. Amazing tunnel with lights in it, with a railway in it and everything like that to get him out. It's nice to have friends like that. I wish I had devotees like that. They could pull me out of the material world. So, no, we do have Prabhupada. Guzman. Guzman. Did I get that right? Yeah, okay. Thanks. Joaquin. Yeah, he's the hero. He's actually a hero in Mexico. So, without dwelling too much on, you know, Mexican criminals, the reason I'm giving that particular example is that in order to get him out quickly, without going through the normal route, which means he would never get out in his lifetime, he'd probably be extradited for the United States and that's it, then they have to have an escape route. And to have an escape route, they have to really study the prison, right? I mean, like any of these people who escape from prison, I mean, in America, and I forget the name of the people who escaped from prison, I think it was about a year ago. It was just in America. Of course, they got caught, ultimately. But still, in order to escape, you really have to study, you know, where the ventilation system is in the prison, where the heating and cooling, that's ventilation, but where the water is, when the guards are going to be patrolling, you know, all you have to know the whole layout of the prison to be able to escape one of these max, you know, maximum security prisons. So we're actually in a maximum security prison. And so we got to really know the layout. One may say, well, I could just chant Hare Krishna and just like have a helicopter pick me up. But of course, they have helicopter wires in the prisons and the helicopters can't pick you up. So the reason we can't do that is because in addition to chanting Hare Krishna, we have to engage in something called yukta vairagya, you know, engaging the material energy. Like the example given in the Vedic literatures is the same thing that can conditions one can be utilized to escape from the material. And the metaphor is, of course, a thorn. You know, the thorn is a thorn prick or something like that. Anybody who's walked in Vrindavan knows what a thorn is. There's maha thorns there. They're this big. They go through thick sneakers and they pierce your feet. I'm sure you've all experienced that who've been to Vrindavan. So Prabhupada said it takes a thorn to remove a thorn. So in order to remove the material energy from our heart, or the control of the material energy, or the modes of nature from our heart, we have to engage Krishna's material energy in his service. That's called yukta vairagya. Prapancha kataya puya
Hari Sambandha Vashtana Mukshri Purityagi Vairagyam Phagu Kachyate.
This is actually an interesting verse. That Phagu Vairagya means to sort of say, well, I don't have to engage anything in Krishna's service. Let me just go to Vrindavan now and just chant. You know, even though I'm still young at 68 years, at 66 years, and wait till death occurs. I mean, some people do that. And I'm not decrying that, but really, that's not our process. I mean, Prabhupada indicated that our process was sort of like fighting in the material world. Prabhupada said we want devotees like Arjuna, fighters. Of course, sometimes that fighting becomes focused internally. That's not really what Prabhupada intended. You know, fight other Vaishnavas, fight other religions. No. Fighting means that we're fighting Krishna's external energy and saving souls, like lifesavers at the, not lifesavers that you eat, but lifeguards, yeah. Lifesavers. The little thing with a hole in it. But like lifeguards at the pool. I mean, you know, they really have to be enthusiastic. Like if a lifeguard, let's say you're drowning in the ocean. And you go, help, help. And lifeguard says, well, just wait. I'm eating my prasadam right now. You know, I got to do so many things, you know. And then finally you go down for the third time. But the lifeguard has to go, okay, let's go get him. And that's the preaching mood in the Krishna consciousness movement. So in order to do that, we have to understand, you know, it's very tricky dealing with Krishna's external energy. Very, very tricky. And one can get entangled in many different ways. Like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that even as one advances in devotional service, one gets what they call perks. Is that perks? You know, what are the perks of your job? Well, I get a sofa, I get a car, whatever. So one gets different perks. In other words, profit, adoration, distinction is one of the perks that one gets as one advances. And those perks can cause one to forget about one's Krishna consciousness, become contaminated, or as one is preaching, one comes in contact with so many living entities that may contaminate one, or in the name of preaching. Just like I got a letter 2 days ago from one of the temples that I'm in charge of, and they said, well, when we do our kirtan performance, should we have Mayavadis chant? You know, so that, because they were thinking we'll attract more people by having people who are not Krishna conscious people with Mayavadis. But then, actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says if you actually do a kirtan ceremony, performance, whatever it is, and there's Mayavadis or people or atheists, then it contaminates the consciousness, it contaminates the everything, even of the people who are actually good devotees. So you have to be aware of all these things in this material world. I mean, like Prabhupada, he was extremely expert about concerning everything in this material world, so he could function properly, avoid being cheated, like the devotees in the beginning days of the movement. They got cheated when there was some real estate deal. You know, they took the money and Prabhupada was very upset. And the devotees would go to India and they get cheated. And Prabhupada called them damn cheap babus. Because the devotees would always think, you know, this is very cheap, but they're getting charged by Western standards. But they're getting charged 10 times as much or 3 times as much as people would normally pay in India. So you have to be very alert to function in Krishna consciousness, even as far as the material energy. Therefore, actually I wanted to read, no, let me read this. So therefore, we have parts of the Bhagavatam, not only the part we're reading now, this particular verse, which is really just one verse, but you have parts of the Bhagavatam that Prabhupada refers to, especially Lord Kapila Dev he refers to in this purport, and Sankhya philosophy. The word Sankhya literally means to count. That's the direct definition of the word. So it means basically to count and be aware of the different material elements. Of course, there's an atheistic Kapila Dev, which Srila Prabhupada and other acharyas mention, And he presents all the material elements in pretty much the same way, but doesn't present the soul and the super soul. You know, he just says that everything is an epiphenomena of matter. You know, that's the scientist's conception, that consciousness comes from matter, everything comes from matter. So we have Arkapila Dev, or I don't know, Arkapila Dev, anyway, he has us, to be more precise, since he's God. And he describes the modes of nature, and particularly what's interesting to me is he describes how the modes of nature affect devotees. And in the Bhagavad Gita, of course, Krishna talks about non-devotees in this one verse I just noted down in the 14th chapter, text 19, where Krishna says, we are one is properly situated when he sees that all activities are performed by the material nature, and there's no other performer at work there, which is really interesting. I mean, that's talking about someone who is in illusion. And of course, hopefully we're coming out of illusion. But that can also apply to us if we happen to be controlled by the material energy in the name of Krishna consciousness. So we have to become very aware of, this means a little introspection, or a lot of introspection, because, I mean, we have the perfect psychological analysis. I mean, there's many different systems of psychological analysis, you know, why is someone angry, why is someone lusty, why is someone bewildered. And of course, if you're studying psychiatry, you just take a pill. That's pretty easy. I mean, I wish we had a pill, like we mentioned yesterday, how this person, Neem Karoli Baba, said that God has appeared in Kali Yuga in the form of a pill for Westerners. I wish it was true, but it's not that easy. He was referring to LSD. So, so we have to really be alert, like introspective about our consciousness. You know, let's say, you know, during the day sometimes we think, oh, I really hate that person. And we're thinking, oh, this is Krishna consciousness because the person's a demon. Isn't it? I mean, we actually think like that. We can actually find shastric justification for all of our mayic emotional states. I want to repeat that because that's actually an interesting statement. We can find shastric justification for all of our mayic emotional states. Like, oh, that person's a demon. I hate him. And the person may be acting as a demon. Of course, Lord Jesus Christ said, don't hate the sin. Don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. So we have to be very careful in the application of Shastra. So here are some things in the instructions of Lord Kapiladev about us. I mean, this refers, or me. I don't want to say you, because I don't want to commit any offenses against any of you. So, you know, when we have these different feelings, intentions, moods, how we can see that they're the modes of nature. I mean, it's important. It's important to say, well, the mode of passion is affecting me right now. Mode of passion. Because I'm thinking, let me build so many things. You know, just like now in Nugaloka. I mean, I am the builder of the Gurukula. They should call it the BKG Academy, you know. You know, just like I got a note from for the TKG Academy. So I said, well, then we should have the same thing. It should be BKG Academy. You know, so then I have to be able to... And I'm paying for it. You know, this is passion. This is passion. We have to avoid that consciousness and be able to identify it. You know, it'll come up. It's guaranteed that consciousness is going to come up. So we have to say, hey, buddy. You know, buddy's yourself. That's mode of passion. And then when you say understand it's the mode of passion, then you understand you got to do something about it. I mean, what do you do? Probably chant Hare Krishna. Or take some association with another devotee or admit it in Bhagavatam class. But one of those different alternatives. I mean, you just say, wow, that's the mode of passion. Or, you know, someday I may be lamenting, nobody knows the trouble I've seen, nobody knows the sorrow. You know, like the blues. You've heard of the blues before? The blues band. Anyway, so you may be lamenting like that. Oh, like that. Well, that's ignorance. I mean, if you know Bhagavad Gita, Shastra Chak, that's what it means to be Shastra Chakshush. To be able to see everything through the eyes of Shastra. That's how Prabhupada was. Everything was through the eyes of Shastra. He didn't get sentimental about things. I mean, just one story. I was listening to a conversation Prabhupada had, because I, as I mentioned, I'm listening every day to Prabhupada when I do my deity worship and when I walk. So it was practically the only conversation where people were attacking Prabhupada. Prabhupada was in the UK and talking to one of the devotees' mothers. Has anyone heard this conversation? And the mother brought her priest along. It's really, I can probably give you the reference later on. But he was saying, look how happy your son is now. Aren't you happy? She said, I'm happy that my son is happy, but I'm not happy. And Prabhupada said, why? She said, I wanted him to be a doctor. She wasn't a Jewish mother. She was from the UK. So she said, I want him to be happy. It'll make me happy if he's a doctor. And Prabhupada explained, you know, he's getting the highest education. And she was talking about, you know, well, what are you going to do when you go to a doctor? And Prabhupada said, you know, we'll pay for the doctor. Prabhupada said, basically, there's so many doctors, we can pay for them. And she said, but I want my son to be a doctor. What about these poor boys? Aren't they going to get any education? And Prabhupada was saying, you know, this is education. They're becoming Brahmins. Unfortunately, there was a priest there at the same time. So Prabhupada could say, you know, what sort of education you get? You went to theological school, so this is theological school. These boys was one of you Brahmins. And she said, oh, but they should go and continue all their education. And Prabhupada said, then they'll learn how to smoke marijuana or, you know, be hippies. And Prabhupada said, your son was taking LSD. And basically, Prabhupada was indicating he was saved. So anyway, they were arguing back and forth with Prabhupada. I mean, she was so bitter. It was just incredible. I've never heard someone deal with Prabhupada like that. Even the devotees stepped in and just started to chastise her in the middle of the conversation. Anyway, so the education we get in Krishna consciousness, not to decry other education, you know, I'm in favor of people continuing their education. I mean, just like I was talking to one devotee last night who I convinced to continue and become a doctor, even though the devotee wanted to drop out. So I'm in favor of that. But the education, Rajavidya, Rajaguya, as Krishna says in the ninth chapter of the Gita, the king of all education is the most important education. That is education about this world and education, you know, as Krishna says, phenomenal and numinous, right? Both things. You know, phenomenal, and also the Isopanishad says vidya avidya. He says one must understand vidya, knowledge, transcendental knowledge, and avidya, ignorance. You have to understand ignorance. You don't have to understand ignorance by becoming ignorant. I mean, it's an interesting story about Shankaracharya. He was having an argument with some lady about lust or, you know, love. And in order to understand it, you know, from her perspective, which is interesting, I don't say we should do this, he entered the body of a dead king. You know, the king had just like collapsed on the ground through a heart attack, and somehow or other they said, oh, the king's dead, and all of a sudden the king got up. And that was Shankaracharya. And then the king, I guess, had his interactions, and Shankaracharya, after he got this realization, he collapsed, the king collapsed again, and Shankaracharya defeated this lady in argument. And she actually became a great devotee, and her husband actually became one of his primary advocates. So, in order to understand the material energy, we don't have to experience the material energy. Like Prabhupada said, it's better to learn by hearing That's first class learning. Second class learning is you learn by doing. You know, someone says, fire will burn you. So first class would be, yeah, it'll burn me. Second class is, let me test it and see if it burns. So a lot of us are doing second class things, but that's life. That's life in the material world. At least that's there. At least we learn from doing. And 10th class is not even learning after doing millions of times. That's called punak punas charvita charvananam, you know, chewing the already chewed. So anyway, getting back to the point, because I wanted to read this portion of the, it's very little time in class, of the Bhagavatam, third canto, that there's certain things that we can identify in ourselves. And let me read these three important verses here. It's in the third chapter, text 29, verses 8, 9, and 10 of the Lord Kapila Dev's explanation of devotional service. And so in text 8, that's 3, 29, 8. He says, a devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent, and angry, and who is a separatist, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. In other words, don't use this to criticize other devotees. It's not my intention. My intention is that we utilize this to look at our own hearts. That if we're really upset, you know, let's say someone does something better than me, just like Krishnapriya dresses the deities better than me, and I get very upset. So, you know, I'm just being facetious. We understand we all have different talents. You know, some people can do things better than others. I can't draw, I can't dress the deities well, you know, I can't do any of that. So if I get envious, you know, proud, like I said, I am the controller here in Nugaloka, whatever, and, you know, angry with others, you know, even... I give the example many times we're driving a car and someone just like stops in front of us, pulls in front of us, and we get angry. This is a mode of ignorance. We should just think. Instead of thinking, oh, that person's a rascal, we should think, that's ignorance. Who is that is influencing me? I mean, don't beat yourself up about it. Just understand, like a diagnosis, you know, that I have a cold. Don't beat yourself up because you have a cold. You do something about it. You know, take some echinacea or something like that. So we have spiritual echinacea, which means we chant the holy names, we pray, we reveal our minds to the devotees. So that's, and of course, separatist means, you know, basically, you know, I'm the best, or we're the best. You know, we're the best, and we got the best team going. The second one is mode of passion. Worship of the deities in the temple by a separatist. There are separatists again. You know, I'm the best. We're the best. With a motive for material enjoyment, fame, and opulence. In other words, how people will appreciate me is devotion in the mode of passion. So it's not only worship of the deities that applies. Any sort of service for Krishna. That, you know, really, I want to be appreciated. Just like, I mean, it goes so far as that one time I was reading this magazine... back to Prabhupada that criticizes all the Vaishnavas, and they didn't have my name in it, and I just thought, you know, what's up? They should criticize me too, and I wrote them. And next, in the next edition, they criticized me. So, yeah, okay. Why don't you read that? Abhina Drik and Pritag Bhava is one who sees his interests as separate from that of the Supreme Lord. But also means, I'm taking it I know that, but... it also means that one is a separatist in terms of interactions with the devotees, too. I'm taking it in both ways. So, and then in the mode of goodness, which is actually a little bit better, we're doing all these things because I want to get the hell out of the material world, which is all right. That's in the mode of goodness. But understand, that's not the highest stage. It says, the results of his activities in order to free himself from the inebrities of fruitive activities. And then, of course... the transcendent, the way we should be thinking, is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and activity qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who's residing in one's heart. Just as the water of the Ganges, this is what we should pray for. This is the right consciousness. This is the water of the Ganges flows naturally towards the ocean, and such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. Sorry, we didn't have more time. I had a lot more, but anyway. So, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki.